Thanks, Pastor Stephen. That's going to get confusing, isn't it, Pastor Stephen? But I just want to take this moment, actually, because this is the first time I've seen you and Angela since your ordination, and so I just want to congratulate you on that. It is very well deserved, and I can't think of two more deserving people. So I know that you're going to really step into that role and, you know, give it the honour and attention it deserves. So congratulations. I'm just glad you don't look like the other Pastor Stephen, otherwise we'd never be able to tell you apart. All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. It'll be up on the screen if you don't have them. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. God's very own possession. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? You know, last week we started looking at our church mantra. Claire and Shirash spoke very powerfully on belonging, planted, becoming. And we're going to dig a bit deeper into belonging today. I wasn't initially thrilled about having to follow Shirash and Claire, but there you go. But hopefully today I'm going to bring a slightly different perspective than they did. And I want to look at it both in terms of the human side of it, of belonging, and also the spiritual side of it. And specifically, I want to examine four points today. Why we need to belong, how to decide where you belong, why belonging is so important as Christians, and lastly, how to help others belong. So why do we need to belong? How to decide where you belong, why belonging is so important as Christians, and how to help others belong. So as the title of this message said, belonging is more than a feeling. You get extra points if you recognize the song that I pinched that from. No one? Yes? Thank you. There's benefits of being a certain age, I guess, isn't there? You can remember the good music. It's more than a feeling. In fact, it's our primary need. It's our primary human need. I've been hearing this term used a lot lately in sermons I've been listening, talking about human flourishing. And belonging is what's required to flourish, or to live a life to the fullest, as it says in John 10. But it's not a concept that need only be viewed through a biblical lens. The idea of belonging has been studied and researched by the medical and mental health professionals over many years. So today, actually what I want to do is start by examining what psychologists say about belonging and then move to what the Bible says. So the core idea in psychology about belonging is that humans have a need to belong. It's a critical theory. The most cited work on this particular theory is by two guys named Roy Baumeister and Mark Leary. In 1995, they wrote a paper called The Need to Belong: Desire for Interpersonal Attachments as a Fundamental Human Motivation. It's a bit of a mouthful. But they argue that humans have a powerful, pervasive drive to both form and maintain at least a number of lasting, positive, and significant interpersonal relationships. Now, what they say is that this isn't just liking people, right? It's not just a need to like people. It's actually a need for frequent, pleasant interactions and ongoing, stable bonds where there is a mutual care for each other's welfare over time. Just want you to, if there's two words I want you to remember, that's mutual care. That's, we're going to come back to that. That's very important. But what they propose, in essence, is that this need is as fundamental as hunger or thirst for humans in shaping our emotions, our thoughts, our behaviors, and that people readily form attachments and strongly resist losing them. Now, they back this up by examining through lots of evidence what belonging gives us and, importantly, what we miss out on or what happens to us if we don't have it. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail because I don't have that much time, but let me just point out a few things that, that belonging gives us and why they feel it's so important. Firstly, emotional stability and well-being. They say that when people feel connected, they show more positive moods, less chronic loneliness, and fewer emotional disturbances. The second thing is cognitive clarity and focus. This one I found particularly interesting. They said social bonds help organize how we think about ourselves and the world, and that feeling that we've found our people reduces preoccupation with rejection and, listen to this, frees up mental resources for other tasks. You'll actually perform better in life if you feel like you belong to something. Other ones they mentioned are behavioral regulation and motivation and, not surprisingly, physical health and longevity. In short, they say that belonging functions like a psychological home base. You know, it stabilizes your mood, sharpens your thinking, and supports healthier, more pro-social behavior. So what happens when you don't belong? What happens then? They mention things like emotional pain and distress, cognitive and self-related distortions, maladaptive behavior. This one fascinated me. They say it's associated with aggression, withdrawal, and sometimes self-defeating or risky behaviors, because when you feel like you don't matter to anyone, the usual social brakes on harmful behavior are weakened. And contrasting the health benefit earlier, you know, there are health risks associated with not being in a group where you feel like you belong. So in a nutshell, humans are not built to be socially optional. Isolation is not good for any of us on any level. And this science confirms what was God's original design, right? We know that. What did he say back in Genesis? It's not good for a man to be alone. So what does God say specifically about belonging, though? Well, belonging has deep roots in both the biblical story and Christian theology, and it's presented in the Bible in a few different ways. Most obviously, possessions. This belongs to this person. You know, Abraham had his flock and things like that. But also, people belong to social groups. You know, Joseph belonged to the house, the lineage of David. Priests belong to the Levite division, and you know, the early Christians to the church. But the most profound sense of belonging described in the Bible is actually how we belong to God and his family. And this is expressed a few ways in the New Testament. I won't go through all of them, but you know, we belong to God. First and foremost, we read that in that scripture at the start. We are a chosen people, God's very own possession. We belong to God. And because of that, we no longer belong to the world or ourselves. It says in John 15 that we are no longer part of this world. And in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. We don't belong to ourselves. But we do belong to one another and to the church. In Romans 12, it says that just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. So if we combine that, if we combine what the psychologists say with what the Bible says, what do we know about belonging? Okay? Psychologists have confirmed that humans are not built to be socially optional. That's a given. But what Scripture adds to that is that it tells us who we truly belong to and why that matters. We are meant to belong. God wants us to belong. but to him and to his family. And he has provided a place for us to experience that. It's called the church. Essentially, he's already given us everything we need for human flourishing. The challenge then is for us to figure out where we belong. Where is that? And that's my second point, how to decide where you belong. You know, we are all uniquely or fearfully and wonderfully made, right? We are intentionally designed. There's no accidents in this room. But because of that, there's no universal formula to finding the right church. I hate moving house, but once or twice I've been fortunate enough to have a friend that has volunteered to help unpack. And that person will always ask, when they pull something out of the box, they'll say, "Where does this thing belong?" Now, they ask me that because I'm the one that owns the item. I'm the one that knows its purpose. God knows your purpose and where you belong, but unfortunately, he doesn't typically point you where you belong by way of a neon sign or something like that. Doesn't quite always, it does for some people, but it's never worked that way for me. But thankfully, as always, we have his word to guide us. So I want to address this question, how to decide where you belong, in two parts. Firstly, I want to start with, what are the biblical characteristics of a healthy church? And then secondly, how those translate into strengthening your walk with God. Because when you find where you belong and when you become planted, that never means stopping. All right, so look, there's numerous churches we could list about what makes a healthy church, but I just want to highlight two this morning, devotion and function. Okay, devotion. If you're trying to decide whether you belong somewhere, look at what the church focuses on. You know, what are the practices they emphasize? Not things they do occasionally, but regularly and with intent. For example, Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Bless you. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You can see from here, from this passage, what the church was devoted to. It's right there in that first verse. They're devoted to teaching, to fellowship, to sharing meals or sharing with those in need, and to prayer. And what was the result? A sense of awe, miraculous signs, worship marked by joy and generosity, and perhaps most importantly, a reputation that attracted new believers daily. You know what? Teaching styles will vary from church to church. Teaching styles will vary inside a church, actually. You know, and prayer meetings will look quite different wherever you go. But the point should be that they're happening, that they're a core part of church life, that teaching the word is what's important, that prayer is what's important, that fellowship, that looking out for one another is what's important, because that's how you see the results that they talked about. So if you're wondering, where do I belong? That's what you should be looking for as a starting point. The second thing I mentioned was function. We're all part of the body, every single one of us. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 to 21, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. A church that functions as a body, where each member plays his or her part, brings glory to God. But don't think it's just the people that are speaking or, I was going to say singing, but not today. But don't just think that people are up on stage or visible. Don't just think they're the ones that are playing a part. Because the Bible teaches us that those who actually seem the least important are the most necessary. if we carry on in 1 Corinthians, this time from verses 22 to 26, it says this: "In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad." Now, how should this manifest in the church? It should be about how we assign value. You know, not adopting the world's system of honor and, you know, resisting the cultural impulse to elevate certain roles like pastors or worship leaders. It's not overlooking those in less visible capacities. It's having a team mentality without hierarchy, you know, avoiding status and deliberately honoring those people that are sort of beneath the radar. And this is the last point. It's interdependent care, where all the members care for each other. Suffering and joy become shared experiences, and the church can't ignore the struggle of overlooked members or compartmentalize ministries into, you know, less or more important. A place where everyone is important. And when one suffers, all suffer. And when one is honored, all rejoice. That is a place I want to belong to. So, to summarize that, how do we identify a healthy church? It's one that combines spiritual depth with genuine community. You know, people join churches when they experience both truth and love, you know, where their gifts matter, and when they belong to something larger than themselves. But, you know, like I said earlier, God doesn't always use neon signs to direct you to the church, and it shouldn't be a super spiritual or mystical process either. Many years ago, I was at an event with Greg French, who was one of the original founding pastors of the C3 movement. He was talking to some young guys, and I think there was a question about how do you know when you've found the right woman to marry? And his response shocked a lot of them, but there's a lot of truth in what he said. He said something along the lines of, "You've got to do away with this idea there's just one person for you." He said, quite literally, there's 1,000 women in the world that any one of you could marry and be very happy with, if you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to commit. And I thought about that as I was preparing this message. It's a lot like that with church. Yes, we could ask for signs and we could try and find where's the one, but really it's about deciding, this is where I choose to belong. You know, we're lucky at C3 that we have pastors that know what's important and that focus on it. But it's up to all of us to share in that vision, because we are one body. And that leads me to my next point. What is healthy belonging? We know what a healthy church is, so what does healthy belonging look like? It said, if we go back to that original passage of Scripture, it said, "You are royal priests, a holy nation." A royal priest clearly would have a function. Am I right? We're not meant to be passive spectators in God's family. It's not just showing up on Sunday. It's actively participating. It's using your gifts to build up yourself, build up others, and the church. Look at this in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11. "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." Seek out opportunities to serve. Ask your leaders how you can use your gifts. Don't sit around and wait to be discovered. You want to know what healthy belonging is? It's being engaged. It's being committed. It's being vulnerable. It's being teachable. And perhaps most importantly, it's being accountable. At some point last year, I remember this thing that Pastor Stephen said that's just stuck with me. He said that how much you yield will determine how much God pours into your life. How much you yield will determine how much God pours into your life. And I thought of that yesterday, that fully yielding is only possible when you belong to the body. You can't be fully yielded if you're out there on your own, because there is no opportunity to be teachable or accountable or be vulnerable. Which leads to my third point, why belonging is so important as Christians. Now, we know it's important to everyone, but it's particularly important to Christians. You know, that moment we accept Jesus Christ into our life, we're justified. It happens in an instant. But we all know that what comes after that, the sanctification, that involves a lifetime of spiritual growth and development. And although this process is intensely personal, it was never intended to be accomplished in isolation. Spiritual formation requires a group effort. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5, we read this earlier, but I just want to pull this back out. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. We are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. This concept of being built together, of us all forming part of that temple, really reveals sanctification's corporate nature, right? The Spirit sanctifies believers through the church to prepare them for the Lord's eternal presence. And it does that through those qualities that we went through earlier about what's a healthy church: prayer, fellowship, teaching, discipleship, accountability, and having a place to use your gifts. Now, of course, God can and he will work on you separately, no doubt. But those elements we just listed, they can't be experienced in isolation. You can't do fellowship in isolation. You can't do discipleship in isolation. You can't be taught in isolation. And you can't use your gifts to help others in isolation. Like it says in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And this all leads to the final point, and really the most important thing about this. What's the point of us discovering how to belong and where to belong? It's so that we can help others belong. We come back to 1 Peter 2 again, this time verse 9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And here's the key part. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. That's the part I want you to zoom in on. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. As a result, because of what just he described. The church is God's creation to place, as it says in Psalms, place the lonely in families. It's to give us a place to belong. That's the point of the church. But what is the biggest barrier to belonging? I think it's for people worried they won't fit in. You know, people don't want to come to church until they're ready because they want to be ready to fit in. They're worried that somehow this body is going to reject them. But belonging isn't about fitting in. The American academic and social worker Brené Brown wrote a book called Braving the Wilderness. And in that book, she defines belonging as the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. But here's the key point she made. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and by seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. You see, trying to fit in, trying to change yourself, trying to make people like you, that's actually a barrier to true belonging. She also went on to say that true belonging doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. If we're going to help others belong, we need to do everything within our powers to dispel this idea that people must fit in if they're going to be welcome in this church. People come in all shapes and sizes, with all sorts of giftings and all sorts of baggage. So we need to create a place that not only doesn't deter them, but actually makes them feel welcome, warts and all. You can only truly be who you are when you know who you belong to, who created you. And our role is to create an environment that allows people to discover that, even if they don't fit in. You know, I've been part of C3 for the best part of 25 years now, both in Sydney and here. If I'm honest, I still don't feel like I fit in, but I know I belong, and that's why I'm still here. So let me ask you something as we close today. Do you know you belong? Do you know you belong? Do you think like it? Do you act like it? Or if you're honest with yourself, are you being a passive spectator? Or do you actually see yourself as a royal priest, actively participating, using your gifts to build up others and the church? You know, do you live a life that says church is less about what I get out of it and more about what I put into it? Is that your mantra? Are you truly engaged, committed, vulnerable, teachable, and importantly, accountable? Because if not, I urge you to ask God for revelation of what it means to be part of His family. And make it your goal for this year to belong, to be planted, and to become. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us, not just that we might be saved, but that we have an opportunity to share in the privileges being part of your family, both in heaven and here on earth. And Lord, I thank you for the gift of the church. We know it's not perfect. We know it comes in all different shapes and sizes, but it is your plan for us to belong to your family while here on earth. Father, I pray that everybody here will get that fresh revelation of what it truly means to belong to your family, both spiritually and practically. And that we'll shift our focus off ourselves and onto how we help others belong. That we will go out of our way to make everybody here feel welcome and to make this a place that draws people in off the streets. We know it's you that's doing the work to save people, but we know it's on us to make them feel welcome. So I just pray that that becomes the mantra that lives in our hearts for this year and beyond. And just while everyone's got their eyes closed, I just want to give an opportunity for anyone that doesn't feel like they belong, not so much to the church, but to God. You do belong to God. But He wants you to acknowledge that. And it requires us to make a decision to say, I'm going to turn my back on this world. I'm going to turn my back on putting myself in the throne of my life and allowing somebody else, allowing God to sit on that throne. So I just want to ask if anybody here hasn't made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to say that I am going to follow them for the rest of my life, no matter the cost. I want you just to raise your hand and I'll see it. No one else needs to see it. It's just me. Okay. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to gather. Thank you for this beautiful day, the fact that we've been born into such a country with such privilege, and we have this opportunity to live this life and gather freely and worship you and learn and hear about your word. I just pray that everyone here leaves today. I pray a blessing over them, over their lives, and that we all walk out of here changed, closer, more in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. Please, as Suresh said earlier, please stick around for a coffee afterwards and fellowship, and please feel like you belong, because you do. God bless.